There are four times that there's potential for pestilence to be increased within the 7-year sabbatical cycle, says the Mishnah, the following four times. Barvias, uvashvias, uvamotze shvias, uvamotze hachag shebuchal shana vishana. In the fourth year, there's potential for pestilence increase, pene meiser ani b'shebashlishes, because in the third year of the 6-year cycle, of course, there's a requirement to give meiser to aniyim. And if that is not given in the third year, the fourth year, there's potential for dever, pestilence. The second time in the sabbatical cycle that there's a potential for increase in pestilence is bashvias. In the 7th year, we pay meiser ani shebashlishes, because there's also a chiyuv, a requirement to give meiser ani, the special tithe for the poor in the 6th year, and if it's not given properly in the 6th year, dever, pestilence, will be brought about in the 7th year. Motzei Shvias, at the end of the sabbatical year, there's also potential increase for pestilence, pnei peros shvias, because those individuals who are owners of agricultural lands, owners of fields, did not give the appropriate fruits and did not leave the fruits fallow for the poor. And finally, b'motzei hachag, at the end of the Yom Tov of Sukkos, yearly, pnei gezel matnos aniyim, because the matanos, the gifts for the poor, were not left out. That's a reference to leket, to shechacha, and peyah. This Mishnah seems to be teaching us the following fundamentally so, and that is throughout the 7-year sabbatical cycle, there is a potential for the aniyim, for the poor to be receiving gifts, to be receiving the money and the needs that they have. And they look forward to this revenue. And the loss of the revenue that they experience when it's not forthcoming aggravates them. And their hopes are waiting for this food to be brought to them. And all of a sudden they're dashed, they're gone, and they don't receive the due food and the due finances that they need. And thus, as a result of their high hopes, their expectations, their yearning and their waiting in the 3rd year and in the 6th year, in the 7th year, and at the end of the Yom Tov of Sukkos on an annual basis, if the food doesn't come, they're let down. And not only are they let down emotionally, but they're let down practically and financially, and they're missing food. And thus, the Mishnah tells us that when there is an expectation to give an ani, it has to be there. And thus, when it's not brought about, dever, pestilence emerges. Mishnah teaches us the very basic value that when aniyim have an expectation and when they're hoping and waiting and pining for finances for them, and we can't let aniyim down and not give them what they rightfully deserve, and it has to be there at the right time when it's appropriate and forthcoming. Not only was this true in biblical times, but we see this to be true in other situations as well. The Gemara Maseches Megillah Daf Daled Amud Beis notes that we don't read the Megillah when Purim falls out on Shabbos. Now in the Chutz La'aretz that can't be, it's an impossibility on the calendar, but in Eretz Yisrael it's not uncommon. It's what we refer to as Purim Meshulash, when Purim, Tesvav, falls out on Shabbos. And the Gemara explains that the reason that we don't lay in the Megillah on Shabbos, one of the reasons, according to Rav, is because Einehem shel aniyim nesuos b'mikra Megillah. The eyes of the poor are waiting for the Megillah reading because they know once the Megillah is read, it's at that point when the matnos aniyim, the matanos levyon, are going to be brought. And when they're looking and they're waiting, they're hoping and pining and expecting the matanos levyonim, v'yefshar b'Shabbos, says Rashi, it's an impossibility on Shabbos, they're let down, they're devastated. And therefore, as a result of that, according to one opinion, the Gemara, the reason that we don't lay the Megillah on Shabbos is because Einehem shel nesuos b'mikra Megillah, just like the Mishnah teaches, so too does the Gemara. We can't let down the aniyim when they're waiting, when they're hoping, when they're pining and expecting the money. We have to make sure that it's there. The Mishnah Berurah in two places in Shulchan Aruch notes this as well. In Siman Reish Ayin Aleph, in Hilchos Kiddush, the Mechaber says that when you return home Friday night, Yemaher Lechol Miyad, you should eat immediately. Make Kiddush and eat right away. But the Mishnah Berurah adds, if you're not hungry, you could wait. Don't rush to eat if you're not hungry, because part of the excitement of Shabbos is that you're looking forward to eating. You should be taiv. You should be anticipating a good meal, and you could wait. You don't have to fulfill the words of the Shulchan Aruch to eat immediately and make kiddush right away if you're not yet hungry. However, listen to what the Mishnah Berurah says in Sif Katan Aleph, in Siman Reish Ayin Aleph. However, Kedalacha, says the Mishnah Berurah, if you have misharsim, or if you have shar orchem befrat oreach oni, if you've invited a poor individual to come sit by your table Friday night, lo ya'achir b'chol gavni, don't wait. Don't fulfill the lechatchil of being hungry to eat. The cave and the mutolim olav lo yuchal akvein b'shvil shehu rotze lekai mitzvah min amufkar. Because you want to wait to be totally excited to eat and to be hungry, don't wait and make the ani wait. The ani needs to eat. He hasn't eaten all week. He hasn't had a good meal. If you've invited an ani over, make sure to feed him right away because he's expecting, he's hoping, and he's waiting for his food. He's waiting for his meal, and therefore hold out and make sure that's the case. I've mentioned in an earlier podcast in Parak Aleph when we spoke on the Mishnah Yebescha Pasuach Lervacha that the Chafetz Chaim famously waited until after the fish, the first or the second course, to sing Shalom Aleichem because he had aniyim at his house and he didn't want to make them wait. He was willing to wait the malachim wait. Shalom Aleichem, Boachem L'Shalom, Baruchuni L'Shalom, Tzeiskem L'Shalom. For that he could wait. The aniyim can't wait. And therefore the Chafetz Chaim waited until later in the meal to sing Shalom Aleichem. But not only is it true in Hilchos Shabbos, the Mishnah Berurah, the Chafetz Chaim says the same thing in Hilchos Sukkah. The Yom Tov of Sukkot is coming. Siman Tav Reish Lamed Tes, the Rama writes and says, hey, that on the first night of Sukkot, if it's raining, you should wait until Chatzos, till midnight, to make sure that you can eat in the Sukkah. However, the Mishnah Berurah says, yes, that's true. But if you have a poor person or poor people who you've invited over to eat in your sukkah on the first night of Sukkot, says the Mishnah Berurah, and it's Sharet Zion, Os Samech Zayin, Dilinyan Aniyim Dekaimi, if you've invited Aniyim to your house, Im Yaakve Melechol Isura Namika, not only is it not nice, but you're violating a lav. By not feeding aniyim right away, they made a mechayv matzis l'koldeos. They don't have to be yotzei lechatchila, and ani doesn't have to fill the mitzvah according to the highest, most pristine level of the law. V'ikach shash ba'al t'acher, and there's a potential of holding them back from eating. The way the Mishnah Berurah is understanding the lav of lot acher is that you're not allowing an ani to eat right away, and therefore says the Mishnah Berurah, even on the first night of Yom Tov of Sukkot, don't wait till chatzos. Maybe wait a little bit. Maybe don't wait at all. But you don't want to make an ani wait. They're expecting. They're waiting to eat. Make sure you feed them just like this Mishnah teaches us. There's an outstanding story about the great Rebbe Reb Zusha. Reb Zusha of Ben Poli had an individual who would weekly give him a certain amount of money to make sure that his needs were taken care of. And over the course of time, this individual, the benefactor who was able to give money to Reb Zusha, became fantastically wealthy, and his friends constantly begged him to reveal the secret of his success. And finally, this individual told them that he supported the famous Reb Zusha. And his friends said to him, if that's the key to your wealth, you do even better if you support the great Rebbe, the holy Magid, the Magid of Mezrich, and you'll become even wealthier. The man listened to their advice and stopped giving the weekly stipend to Reb Zusha and instead gave it to the great Magid, Reb Dov Ber of Mezrich. But quickly, all of a sudden, this individual's fortune plummeted. He was left with nothing. And he figured out that he must have done something wrong. He went to the Rebbe Reb Zusha and he asked him, what happened? I was giving you my weekly stipend and I was becoming fantastically wealthy. And all of a sudden, I stopped and I started giving it to the Magid of Mezrich. And where did all my money go? What did I do wrong? And listen to what the holy tzaddik Rebbe Reb Zusha said. He said, my dear friend, when you gave me money and you didn't investigate carefully whether I was the most worthy recipient or not, HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the heavenly agents in the cosmos didn't check you too carefully whether you were the most appropriate person to be deserving of wealth. But now that you're so careful and cautious to give tzedakah only to a great tzaddik like the Magid of Mezrich, in Shemayim they're also careful with you to see how much money they're going to give you and how much you should be blessed with prosperity. Often we're very tempted when giving tzedakah to look for the most worthy recipient, the most appropriate person, so much so that often we will stop giving to somebody who we've been giving before. But we can never forget about our regular beneficiaries and to make sure that we're giving them because they're relying on our contributions. And they experience great disappointment when we're not forthcoming with them. And who knows which is the most worthwhile charitable cause? What's the greatest tzedakah? But as this Mishnah teaches and as the Gemara teaches, and we've shown from two halachas in the Mishnah Berurah, there's certainly an inyan of an expectation that aniyim have. We have to make sure that we give regular recipients, not letting them down. It's true when it comes to Matanos Lavyonim. It's true to people we invite over for our home, for meals, for guests, whether it's Shabbos, whether it's Yom Tov. And it's true in the gamut of causes that we support. Let's make sure to continue to support Aniyim and to make sure everybody has what they need. Have a wonderful week. Shavua Tov. Good vach.